All right. Hey, great to be here with you. We're going to spend the next few minutes talking about a subject, postpartum depression, and we're going to co-team this together. A couple things before I pray. You know, it's good to be transparent, isn't it? Until it's you. And so Jocelyn's going to share, it's happened a while ago, we agree, but still a very important part and a very transparent part of her life that she's going to share with us. We certainly support her and want to be very good about listening and hearing her story and just the reality of what happened. We're going to talk about how we help, some of the things to think about when we talk about this. So let's pray and then we'll get started. Father, thank you for this day. May we continue to bring honor and glory to you. May our speech, our thought, as we speak, be concise and clear and easy to hear, easy to understand. May your spirit work in all of us to help us understand the truth that we need to help those around us who are struggling, even in this area. Thank you. In your name, amen.
My name is Jocelyn, and I have been a biblical counselor since 2001, almost 20 years. Since 2013, I've worked at home full-time supporting my family on our small hobby farm and educating our children. Previously, I worked for Faith Church at Vision of Hope Residential Treatment Center, where I helped girls who were struggling with unplanned pregnancies, drug and alcohol addictions, habits of self-harm, and eating disorders. This morning, I'm going to share a pretty private part of my life, which is no longer super private since I've been doing this for like 10 years now, so everyone knows. But this part of my life story begins in 2002. My husband and I had weathered a few turbulent growing years in our early marriage, and we were celebrating 5 years. Without really having any concrete plan, we found ourselves pregnant because that's what you do when you love God, have babies. So on April 23rd, I found myself 27 weeks pregnant with our first baby, just about ready to enter the last 12 weeks of my pregnancy. I was working full-time at a Christian ministry, running a faith-based, although at that point fully integrationist, transitional housing facility. I'd been working there for the past 5 months and was on a quest to clean it up. My first 5 months were all about helping the ministry transform through the application of biblical counseling. I'd gone through biblical counseling training here at my church, and I was on fire for the authoritative and sufficient word of God being applied to suffering people's lives. So on that day, nearly 18 years ago, I got up and went into work just like any other day. That day was really hard because I was dealing with a woman with a psychiatric diagnosis who had gone off some meds cold turkey, was having out-of-control behavior, and was threatening to kill herself. By the end of that day, I was a shaky mess since there were police involved and a trip to the psychiatric hospital for my client. On top of that, I really didn't feel good. My stomach hurt really, really bad, and I felt kind of like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich whose peanut butter was on fire. When the excruciating pain didn't get any better, my doctor's office advised me to get to the hospital immediately. So being the strong woman I was, I drove myself to the hospital since my husband was at school. Or at least I tried to until I realized I couldn't, so I stopped in a nearby town and had my friend drive me the rest of the way. I felt like I was dying, but I was pretty sure that when I got to the hospital, they would roll their eyes at me and say, "You ridiculous first-time mothers, just go home and go to sleep and everything will be fine." However, in the next 2 hours, every definition of normal in my life became rewritten. I went from being obliviously and innocently excited for our first baby to finding out from the doctor that I had 24 to 48 hours to live unless they got the baby out. I didn't know what was going on, but I knew I was very sick. I had never even been to one birthing class. I had never even toured the hospital. I didn't have any clue that a 27-week baby could survive outside the womb, but Dr. Wickert was telling us that that was the plan. They were giving me steroids to make the baby's lungs mature more quickly, and they were going to try to keep the baby in as long as possible, but according to the doctor, the baby was coming out within the next day or two. The next 12 hours was a blur of seeing my husband ushered out into the hallway and noticing his terrible reaction to the doctor's news, seeing the numbers on my blood pressure monitor and realizing they were high enough that I could have been having a stroke, throwing up repeatedly, writhing in pain, calling my parents who were in North Carolina at the burial service for my mom's mom, who had just died 2 days before after a 3-year-long battle with colon cancer, and telling them that they probably should make the 13-hour trip to be with us as soon as possible. All night long, as she drove 13 hours, my mom, who is a hospice nurse, was getting updates from the nurses at the hospital about my blood counts and liver panels, and I knew she was freaking out because they were bad. She was worried that I might die before she got there to see me one last time. Finally, they got me stabilized, and the next day they wheeled me into the operating room where my doctor, Dr. Miller, cut me open and pulled out a tiny little 1 pound, 13 ounce baby that was born 12 weeks early in order to save my life. There was a NICU team standing there waiting to put her on a ventilator. I felt like death warmed over, and I just wanted to go back to 2 days ago when everything was innocent and fine. I was put in recovery and spent every ounce of energy I had trying to stay awake, desperately trying to wiggle my toes so I could leave that recovery room and go see the baby. They wheeled me to the baby's side in the NICU, and I almost threw up as I looked at my baby and realized I didn't even recognize her to be human. She was so tiny and was lying under a see-through plastic blanket that covered her whole entire body, even her head. There was a machine breathing for her, and all I could think of was that she looked like a pound of hamburger that you buy from the store on a styrofoam tray wrapped in saran wrap. She looked like an ugly little red rat. What kind of mother is revolted by the sight of her own baby? I got wheeled into my room where I went through the motions in a big black fog. I visited the baby through pictures, and then finally when I was allowed to leave the room, I went and saw her for the first time after that horrible first post-surgery visit. She was all hooked up to wires, laying under a plastic blanket, and she would scream and scream and scream. I looked at her and told myself, "Don't you dare start loving her, because when she dies, you will not be able to handle it." I told my husband I was going to hold her loosely in case God decided to take her, and he got angry at me and said, "No, we're not. We're going to fight for her. We're going to beg God to let her live." All I could do was cry and cry and cry and cry because I could not imagine letting myself love her and being able to handle that much grief when I lost her. It's easier just to not love her. And what kind of terrible, pathetic mother doesn't love her baby? Everyone said it. You look at your baby and you instantly feel a surge of love. That was baloney. I looked at my baby, I felt nothing but pity. All of my dreams that I'd had since being a little girl were ruined. I wanted to have a wonderful pregnancy and look adorable in little cute maternity clothes. I wanted to have a tree-huggy, natural birthing experience where I embraced my true womanhood, pushed a baby out, then got up and washed the dishes without even a shot of pain relief. I wanted to nurse my baby with the wind blowing my long blonde hair as butterflies wafted in the distance through sunlit daisy fields. And this is where I was. In the middle of a neonatal intensive care unit where there were machines beeping all around me and alarms going off all the time and nurses rushing to babies and parents crying. I couldn't even comfort my own baby. Every time I touched her, she screamed. I wasn't a cute pregnant girl. I was monstrous and sick and puffy, and my own parents didn't even recognize me when they saw me in the hospital. Breastfeeding wasn't a glorious spiritual experience. It was terrible. I was afraid of everything. I was afraid my baby was going to die. I was afraid I was going to pass out or throw up when I went to visit her because it was so disgusting, and being in the NICU made me nauseous. On top of that, I still had a business to run. I took 2 weeks off to recover from the surgery, then I went back to work because I only had 6 weeks of maternity leave. I needed to save some of it for when the baby got out of the hospital. So for the next 2 months, my life became a flurry of driving 30 miles to work, 30 miles to the hospital, 30 miles to home. 30 miles to work, 30 miles to the hospital, 30 miles to home, till I finally just moved into Lafayette and slept at a friend's house. We juggled work, driving, seeing each other, updating our parents with the baby's progress, dealing with the baby's illnesses and setbacks, and trying to remember to eat, until finally the doctor said it was time for her to come home. I was so afraid to leave the hospital. We knew the nurses could do anything. We had seen them resuscitate one of the other babies while we were there visiting our baby, and we would never be able to do that at home. For 3 months, we took care of her at home and we managed. Things began to get a little normal, but then during our first big car ride that was 10 hours long, I realized I didn't feel well. In fact, I felt a lot like I did when I was in the hospital originally. I felt lightheaded and short of breath and panicky. Then while we were at our parents' house, it became evident that their marriage was truly broken after years of warning signs and worrying. While we were there and I was worrying about my parents' marriage, I had my first full-blown panic attack, only I didn't know what it was. I just knew I felt like I was going to die. And 6 months earlier, when I had felt like that before, I actually did almost die. On the drive home for 10 hours straight, I had panic attack after panic attack. And for anybody who's ever experienced